It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Thursday, and Millie, really a short woman who lived in a small town called Beetle Neck, well, she was there for about 10 years, and she realized that every Thursday about 5 o'clock, there was a sound that she heard. It was like a cat meowing, but it wasn't quite like a cat, but it sounded like a cat. Maybe it was a wolverine or a bobcat or something else like that, like a panther maybe. Of course, she never really did hear a panther or a bobcat, but she kind of got the idea that they look like a cat, they might sound like a cat. Well, I mean, really, add it up. It's total logic. But in any case, it was Thursday, and it was in the afternoon, and she knew evening was coming, and when evening came, she'd be waiting for that sound again. Every Thursday, she'd wait for it. And about 7:30, 8 o'clock, she'd stick her head out the window and just put her arms out and stretch and wait, look around, and then she'd just sit still. Sure enough, she could hear way out in the back forest, she could hear the like that, and she knew it had to be a cat, but she kind of figured it might not be, but it could be, sounded like it. Well, what she wanted to do is go have a look at it, but she didn't want to go alone. So she called her longtime friend, Stencil, who was from Cedarbrook, which is about 20 miles away. She says, how soon will it be before you can get here? And he said, oh, it'll be about 20 minutes. So that wasn't too bad for being that far away. He's probably going to use the shortcut. And it was a long wait, and he finally got there. In the meantime, she pulled out some cookies out of her drawer, and she started to pull them out one by one and gobbled them up as she was waiting. And one of those cookies, it was the third one back. It had something on top of it. She wasn't quite sure what it was. It looked like frosting. But was it? She didn't know. And how did it? It was a brand new bag. Where did that frosting come from? And was it frosting? Well, she wasn't going to eat it because she wasn't sure what it was. So she put it off to the side. And she decided, what the heck? Maybe tomorrow morning I'll have it with tea. If it was frosting. But in any case, so she was eating up her cookies like that and waiting. Finally he showed up. Headlights come flying in the driveway, and he come running up to the door. He said, okay, let's go get him. Let's go get him. Well, she said, stand back. I haven't finished my last cookie yet. Do you want a cookie? No, I don't want a cookie. What do you want a cookie for? Well, they're good. No. Let's go get them. Okay. I'm going to get my camera, too, just so to have proof that we saw them. I said, okay. So back out the door they go. Out the back door they went. And she locked the house up, of course. She had to lock it up because the neighbor kids were always going around testing doors. And she didn't want her doors to be tested that particular night. So out she went. Way out to the backwoods and a small road. And she went out that way. And sure enough, off to the left, about 400 feet, they could hear it again. Wow, holy smokes, they were close. They were surprised they got to it so fast. And they just made it. And then she went, of course, off to the side. She didn't want to be walking right straight in on it. So she went around one way, and he went around the other. And he wanted to kind of, like, close it in. And they got a little closer and a little closer. And they heard it again. And as soon as they got up right tight to it, they looked in, and it was laying on its back. And it was laying on a mattress in the middle of the woods. Now, where would he get a mattress from in the middle of the woods? All by himself, he was stretching. And every time he would stretch, he would go like that. and you could hear him for miles. He must have, because of the late night and the sound carries so easily at night, you could hear him for miles around because everything else was totally quiet except for his big growl. Well, of course, what they wanted to do was get him out of there and get a picture, so she put out her camera, and as soon as she held up her camera ready to take a picture, soon as she was about to snap the picture, he heard her, and he turned, and he looked, and both eyes stared right at her, and he froze in position. There he was, looking at her, and she knew that she was in trouble. Well, he was on the other side, and he was watching all this take place. So he reached down, and he pulled up a small rock, and he threw it off to the back behind the tiger. Oh, was it a tiger? It was a tiger. No wonder they were so afraid. And no wonder it was so big. That was no cat. And so he threw the rock all behind the tiger there, and it made a crack and a pop in back of him, but it didn't even faze him. So he reached down and picked up a bigger rock, and he threw it off way into the back. Kapow! Well, that caught the tiger's attention, and he turned around and looked. And just as he turned around to look to the back, both of them headed back to their car as fast as they could, running as fast as they could. And she lost her shoe in the process, but she didn't care. She just kept on running. And she ran right back to the car, and he did too. And just by the time they got in the car and slammed both doors, the tiger came pouncing right on top of the hood of the car. Roar! It just growled just like that. Well, she turned the windshield wipers out, and he was watching them go back and forth like that. And then she put the car in reverse and started to back out real slow. She wanted to go too fast because, for one thing, it was dark out and she couldn't see that well, and one of the tail lights, one of the backup lights, wasn't working, so she only had one light to help guide her way out. So they backed up and backed up and backed up, and that big tiger was right on top of the car now, going roar just like that, and they could hear the pounding of the big paws on top of the car. They were backing up. Oh, she was just shaking, and he was too, and he had some kind of a it was his coat. That's what it was. It looked like his towel, but it was a coat over his head. And he was just as afraid as could be, backing up slow down this old winding road. She's thinking, why did I have to come out here to get a picture of it? I never did get a picture of it because he spotted me and I was afraid to snap the picture. And they just kept backing out and backing out. And just as they were going to make around that one turn, as they were backing up, bang! Oh, no, she thought. Well, what happened is there was a log on the road and it hooked on the muffler of the car underneath, and it was dragging. So she had to step on the gas more and you hear the engine revving up like that, and they was pushing that log out to the back and dragging it, and all of a sudden it broke loose like that, and it jarred the tiger and it fell off the roof. And that's when she thought, oh, now's my chance to get away. So she tromped it. That means she stepped on the gas really fast, and she tromped it, and tire spin back, shot the sand up everywhere, and just back up as fast as she possibly could. And just when there was in an opening like that, she flipped the wheel around and turned the car face forward, making sure the lights were on nice and bright, and she just spun the wheel, put it in drive, and just spun the wheels heading out, and away she went, all the way back to their house as fast as she could, making those turns left and right, up and down, around the trees. And that one tree she almost hit the other day, she passed it by really good because she was so nervous and was just paying so much attention. And she just pulled into her driveway, and she was almost afraid to get out because she thought the tiger was going to be waiting for him. But she got up real close to the house, as close as she possibly could. And just as she was getting out of the house, there was somebody at her front door ringing the doorbell. Ding, ding. Oh, that's good, she thought. Oh, that's good, that's good. At least somebody's here to help if the tiger comes. So they got out of the car and they walked. Well, actually, they ran to the front door. They started to walk when they realized, hey, we better get going before that tiger gets here. So they ran all the way to the front door. And as soon as they got to the front door, there he was standing there, the guy from across the street. He was saying, what seems to be the problem here? I seen you rushing through the woods back there. Is there something that I can help you with? She said, oh, no, 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 no. We just discovered a tiger back there. She was all shook up. He said, a tiger? What do you mean a tiger? Yes, there's a tiger back there. And he said, yeah, there is a tiger back there. That's the other guy talking. He said, there is a tiger back there. He said, "Oh, really?" "Yes," they said. "Oh, they just didn't know what to do." He said, "Well, I'll go get my gun." Yeah, the guy across the street said, "I'll go get my gun. We'll go shoot him." "No," she said, "you can't go shoot a tiger like that. We need to call the Animal Rescue Foundation. Let them come and get it. He's not going anywhere. I hear him every Thursday night. And you know what?" He said, "What?" "He's got a mattress out there that he sleeps on." "He does?" "Yes, I saw it."
"And I saw it too."
That's the other guy talking. And so they just decided what they're going to do is wait in the morning, and they're going to probably go out there with a whole group of people, and maybe they'll try to locate its house out there and capture it somehow. And maybe they thought they better not do that. Better wait for the Animal Society. Let them go get it. But all they wanted to do is stay away. And so they did. They stayed away for 3 days and four nights. And the Animal Society was a little bit busy that week, so they weren't able to go out and get it. So what do you do in a case like that? You just kind of just have to continue to wait and hope that the tiger doesn't come prowling around your house. You know, what do you do when you have to go shopping at 8 o'clock at night? And as soon as you walk outside, you got a big tiger waiting for you. I mean, you know, what do you do if he's hungry? I mean, you know, you'd make a pretty good meal for him, probably a couple days' worth. So you don't want to go outside at 8 o'clock at night if you know a tiger's running around. That'd be kind of scary. So they called the Animal Rescue Foundation the next day again and said, "Hey, you got to get out here. You got to get out here. I don't have time to be worrying about this tiger all the time." And the other guy, the backer, said, "That's right. I don't like to do this stuff. I mean, it's scary." And so the Animal Rescue Foundation said that they would be out the following day and that they'd have to probably take a helicopter up or maybe even an airplane or something like that to see if they could spot it from the sky first so they wouldn't waste their time searching all over the woods. This way here they would be able to catch it as soon as they possibly could. Well, that's what they did. Next day, sure enough, 7 o'clock in the morning, over the hill come three helicopters. One, a red one, two, a blue one, and three, a green and yellow one. And they come right up over the hill just like that. You could hear the powerful engines coming up and over. First thing in the morning, sun was just coming up. They were going out tiger hunting. They were going to go try to find that tiger. And each one of them had, at the bottom of the helicopter, a big box. And I'm guessing what was in that box was a net. They're going to drop it over the tiger. Well, that's probably just what they did because they headed all down south, all three of them at one time, and they were told that it was up near the Blue Top Mountain, which is about maybe 20 miles away, something like that. And so that's where they thought it lived. So they all headed up that way first and then started to spread out. Well, as soon as they got to that mountain, they looked around and couldn't see anything, and they all talked to each other on their radios. "Roger, Roger, I don't see anything over here. Do you?"
No, I don't see anything over here either. I think we're going to go back and do some other day."
And so they could talk back and forth like that. And so they were not very lucky that day. They couldn't find them. Of course, there are a lot of trees there. Maybe they're going to have to do a regular manual search. But that would be risky. What would you do if a tiger pounced on you? I mean, literally jumped out of a tree even. And fell right on top of you and gobbled you up. I mean, you wouldn't even have a chance to say, "I need a little help over here." No, that wouldn't happen. So they decided that they would try some other day and have other people help in the search. Well, this went on for days and days and days, and they were getting tired of this. This was taking too long, way too long. It's getting ridiculous. And so they decided to take it upon themselves to go get them. And what they were going to do, they were going to put meat on a stick. They're going to go down, buy a big chunk of meat, put it on a string, put it on a real long stick like it's a fishing pole, and head on down, hoping that when the tiger came along, it would try to go for the meat, and they could always hold it in front of them as they ran, and they'd be after the meat instead of them, and then they would be able to lead them all the way back down into town and right straight to the animal shelter. Well, that was their idea. That's what they were going to do. But the next day, they went to the store and they said they need a big chunk of meat. And the guy says, oh, really? What do you need meat for? And they said, well, we got a tiger we're going to catch. And he started laughing. A tiger? Where are you going to find a tiger around here? They're out in Africa, places like that. Oh, no. No, we've seen him. And the guy at the back, he said, yeah, that's right. We've seen him. We saw him first-handed. And so they got the meat, and they had it out, and they got the string, and they tied it on to the big pole. And they went out there, and they started to walk out into the woods. They didn't take the car this time because they wanted the meat out in front of them as they walked all the way through the woods like that. Wow, the meat was a real big help because it wasn't within 5 minutes they were able to hear the tiger again. Like that. And they knew he wasn't by his mattress because they were in a completely different location. So they held it out, and she was shaking like you wouldn't believe. And he was standing right behind her. But she held out that pole just as strong as she could. And the tiger come pouncing over the bushes. Oh, they were afraid. And she just held out that pole with the meat in front of her. And you could see the string shaking. And you could see the meat shaking. And the tiger started to walk up to the meat and sniffing it. Well, she started walking back. She says, this is it. Let's go. Let's go. He said, okay, let's go. And they were walking real slow. Then they started moving faster and faster. And then she held this stick off to the side, the big pole. And she was like probably about 8 to 10 feet away. And it was hanging on the string. And the tiger there, he was just walking along, sniffing it. And it kept walking. Pretty soon they were starting to gallop, starting to trot like that. And they were just moving along. Brum, brum, brum. They were running like that, and then were running into a full run. Both of them were running as fast as they could, and they were carrying this big old stick, and the tiger was sniffing along as trying to find that meat. They were getting closer and closer to their house. They weren't that far away either, and they were getting closer and closer. They were going to head into town, right down to the animal shelter, and they were taking it all around this way and that way and up over this hill over here and down over there past that big bush, and there was that one old big old log they almost got hung up on in the car. They passed that. Then they went around the bend over there, and the tiger was still with them. He didn't even try to bite the meat. He was just sniffing it. I guess he was trying to decide whether it was good enough to eat or not. And pretty soon they got into the street area, right into the residential area, and they kept on going and going, and they went down Elm Street and then up First Avenue, and then they went down Gilbert Road, and they kept on going around and around down White Street and kept going down, and finally they got onto Main Street, and the Animal Society was just off Main on Waukatusha Road, and they almost got there, and just about getting to Waukatusha, the tiger bit off half the meat. Oh, now they were nervous. They had to get it to the animal shelter. So the guy in the back, he got on his cell phone and called the animal shelter and said, this is me. We got a tiger coming in. Open up your back door. Your big garage door. And we'll bring the tiger in. We're on our way right now. Hurry, open up the door right away. And protect yourselves, whatever you do, because it's coming your way. Get ready for him. Get ready for him. And so they came around, and they got down and right down into the alleyway and right up to the garage, and pretty soon they worked his way right soft and easy. He's sniffing that meat again and ready to gulp it again, and as soon as he did, they threw the stick right into the garage, and the big tiger ran right in after the meat, and they shut the door on him. They locked him in the garage. Well, there he was. He was finally locked in the garage, locked right in, and now the Animal Society, the animal shelter, had him. And now they were going to take him and send him back to Africa or wherever they were going to send him, to some zoo maybe or something. But they finally caught him. And they were so happy. Both of them were so happy. They were just so relieved. They finally got it. And on every Thursday now, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, they didn't have to worry at all about coming and being eaten up by a big tiger. They were happy. So they walked slow back to their house, sat and had a nice meal and watched TV, laid back and rested, and that was it. They spent the rest of the night and the rest of the weeks completely relaxed because now they knew that the tiger was finally caught and was going to be put in a safe place for himself, too. And he'd be able to eat as much as he wanted wherever he was, whether it was in a zoo or if they sent him back to Africa. It was going to be a good place no matter where he went. So they were all happy, and they all lived happily ever after, and they all had a wonderful life.